Welcome to the Ugly Podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Emerson. And we're trying really hard not to try so hard.
Come hang out with us as we talk about our passion for creativity, authenticity, and heart-centered entrepreneurship. Did I say that right?
Yep, definitely.
One thing that I've really enjoyed doing when I write like emails and stuff is to just start by saying, hello, hello, hello. And then I just think of RuPaul. So I really like to start things by imitating RuPaul. Yeah. So welcome to, well, are you ready to get started? I guess I should ask.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Welcome to the Ugly Podcast. I'm Lauren Alexander, and I use she, her pronouns. I am the owner of Scribe and Sunshine.
And I am Emerson Lee, and I use they, them pronouns, and I'm the owner of Happy Memories Elder Support.
If you've listened before, then you know that we're close friends and entrepreneurs, and we've kind of been on this journey of building our own separate businesses together. And we talk about kind of how we've done that and things that we found successful and our relationship with creativity and each other. And it's fun. So that's what we're going to do.
You want to tell folks what we're talking about today?
I certainly can do that. So today we're going to talk about improvisation. And it's something we've both had to utilize a lot. So what are first thoughts, opinions, impressions of improvisation?
So I always felt like improvisation only referred to doing improv comedy. That was really my only association with it. And I used to hear about improv for dementia. And I was like, that's cool that they do improv theater for dementia. And it's actually like so much more about like how you're improvising in each moment with someone and almost making like every moment of your life like improv. And that's not exclusive to dementia. That's also just life. So that's something that's only become clear to me in the past year, even the past 6 months. Even the past 3 months. So it's really new to me to explore this. And I feel like I'm improvising all the time. And like you said, we're utilizing it all the time in our businesses. So I'm definitely excited to dive into it a little more. Because I feel like other people are probably like, yeah, improv theater.
Right. And that's exactly what my initial thoughts were when you said improvisation. I was just like, yeah, improv comedy. No, but yeah, it's definitely something that you kind of have to embrace when you're running a business because things go wrong, and especially if you're by yourself and you don't have other people to help you, you have to like just kind of stumble your way through and make things up as you go. So it's definitely something that I've had to learn, but it's not something I really like most of the time. Well, I won't say most of the time, but it's growing on me, and we'll get into why. But
well, and you'll probably touch on that. I'm probably going to spoil the why, but also like ugly art is entirely improv.
Yes.
You don't make ugly art with a plan, really.
Yes, exactly. And that's the part that I've grown to like about improv is like making ugly art and improvising as I go. That part's been fun. When I think of improvisation, the biggest thing that comes up for me is this feeling of uncertainty. And I don't like being uncertain. I hate surprises. Whenever I'm uncertain, I feel like I'm suspended in midair and just kind of like hovering there. And like any step I take is going to be dangerous. And it's a horrible feeling.
It's so funny you say that because I keep thinking of the analogy of skydiving is how it feels to me. And yeah, suspended in midair is definitely what it feels like.
Yeah. What do you think of that feeling of uncertainty? And then do you think that your relationship with uncertainty impacts your ability to improvise?
Yeah, it's so interesting that I'm talking about that right now, because as you know, from knowing me for a very long time, for the first 3 decades of my life, it was really hard for me to be anything but just rigid and freaked out about stuff, and everything was hard, and I tried to control and plan everything and be perfect and all of that stuff. And this is my first decade. I'm just starting my 30s. It's my first decade where I'm like, I can just enjoy life and experience things and try things. And like, I just feel much freer. And immediately, this very first year in my 30s, it's like you're getting married and you're moving and you don't know where you're moving to. And like, you're also starting a business and having some things come up there that take a lot of improvisation. So I feel like I like reached a challenge level in improvisation and uncertainty, where I'm like, I don't even have the time to freak out about this. I just have to move forward. I was telling my partner, it feels like playing Dance Dance Revolution when it's on the hardest level. You don't even think, you just move and do anything you can and hope you're going to hit some of them. And I feel like when I was going at a like slower, like lower medium level dancing, you're like, oh, I got to get it right. I got to do this. And it feels really uncomfortable. And honestly, right now, I mean, I'm at the very beginning of the process, but I'm like, I'd rather just play on the hard mode.
I just had terrible flashbacks.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They're lovely flashbacks, but yeah, that feeling when you were just like stumbling over your feet, trying so hard to get all the buttons. But I do like that idea of if you're going that fast, you're gonna hit some buttons. And that's kind of something that you have to, with the business, like as things are evolving and changing, if you're not trying things and being okay if they fail, then you're not going to try things that will be successful. You're just going to stay in one spot.
I like how my answer to how I feel about uncertainty is like, I simply do not have time to feel.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, it's better. Though I will say I have been kind of suspended in the uncertainty for like a few months now. We've known this is coming for a few months. And so it is something I feel like it's just exposure therapy where I'm just like, I have no idea what's going to happen and I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to just sit outside and drink lemonade because there's nothing else I can do.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the world, I know I'm going to like broaden this up, but like there's so much uncertainty in the world. Mm-hmm. We don't know if World War III is happening. We don't know like how long we're going to be able to not have masks. Like the mask mandate was just lifted in Washington, and it's like we don't know how long this is gonna last. It's all so uncertain. So I think the more you can embrace that uncertainty and just kind of improvise as things come up, the better, which I'm definitely getting better at. It's hard, like, but it's good and worth it.
It's easier to start it with the fun stuff, like ugly art, right, and stuff like that. That, at least that, I feel like there's like safe improvisation, which is like, I'm just going to do something random on my day off. And then there's like terrifying improvisation. And one, learning the safe stuff helps us with the other stuff.
I totally agree. And that's actually how I've gotten myself to move from ugly art to like bigger art projects, like writing books. I have 3 books that I'm in the process of writing. But I wouldn't have started those if I hadn't started with small 10-minute ugly art pieces, and kind of like got my brain into this habit of saying, yeah, sure, start a book. Who knows if you'll finish it, but start it anyway.
It doesn't matter if you don't. I was telling a friend about this recently, like you can start a project and do the first 2 or 3 steps and not finish it, and you can still have had a great time and have maybe a partial thing you really like, and like that's great. That's wonderful.
That's something I really wish I would have understood before I quit my other job. And I have a lot of friends who are still working jobs that they're frustrated at, and they just don't know what to do next. And I mean, that's where I was for so long, but I just didn't understand, like, oh, you can just play around with different ideas and you can try different things and you don't have to follow through. You can tell people that you're launching a new business and then do 2 things and then be like, just kidding, I'm not. Peace out. Like, it doesn't matter.
I love that.
How much would you say you plan and how much do you improvise? And then was there a time when that ratio began to tip one way or the other?
So this is the time in the podcast where we always, every time we bring up Simone Graysoul. So it took us like 5 minutes to get there. Yes. Yeah. So I saw recently some of her stuff. She's saying like she'll send something at like 3 a.m. if she wants to, or she'll just like, she doesn't have like these like strict content calendars and she just like does whatever all the time. And I believe, I don't know for sure, I think she has ADHD. Do you know?
Yes, she does. Cause I'm reading I'm reading her book right now, actually, one of her books, and she mentions it in there. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it is for me, too, that I have tried to be a very rigid planner person for a very long time, and I have been. Like, people think of me as being, like, a planner, and that, I realized, is masking and trying to overcompensate for the fact that my brain doesn't like that. So I've started to just, like, I post stuff when I post stuff. Sometimes I'll, like, make a reel because I just see three words that I'm like, oh, that inspired this idea and I want to do that. And it's just, I'm doing, like, pretty much everything improvisational right now and just kind of winging it, which I never would have thought I would thrive with, but I am. So it definitely, yeah, the ratio is definitely, like, 100% planning and has oscillated between, like, 100% improvisation when I'm just completely winging it to, like, okay, maybe I do a little bit here and there. So, yeah, been a very interesting relationship between those two things.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, when I first started my business, I was 100% plan and 0% do, let alone improvising. Like, I couldn't do stuff. I mean, I couldn't just do stuff on the fly. I was just planning and planning and planning and never actually going. So I was just frozen. And then gradually, as I was able to start taking those steps to do stuff, it became very clear that all of the planning I had done really didn't help me that much. So I think now I'm much more like 50-50, either improvise or plan. I like to plan out my days and, like, my schedule pretty well, but then I'm also, I also, like, try to keep it flexible. So, like I said, 50-50 has been a good balance for me.
It's interesting because I feel like we're both the kind of people who are, like, we would prefer to 100% plan and have that be perfect 100% of the time. It's never like that. So I think that it's cool to see us both moving towards the 50-50 approach.
I agree. And it's also just not worth the frustration that comes with the 100% planning mode, because nothing's ever going to go 100% according to your plan. I mean, you might have one special time when that happens, but the rest of the time, something's going to go awry and you're going to be mad. And I lose my temper about things not going to plan all the time. My anxiety just hikes up to 100 and it's like, no, this was not part of the plan. But it's not, it's just not worth it. So if you're able to let go in those little moments and improvise, it's so much better.
Yeah. So my very good example of this is initially on my Instagram, when I was kind of finding my footing and my branding, which branding felt really natural to me, just like, what colors do I gravitate towards? What, how do I want to present myself? So it's never been a super, like, rigid thing, but I really liked the idea that Happy Memories Elder Support would have an Instagram that looked like a scrapbook, and it would have, you know, Polaroids and little doodads and, like, ticket stubs and cutesy things like that. But I liked it being in 9 grids. So every 9 posts would be the same background and it would look like a scrapbook page. And oh my gosh, that's the hardest thing ever. Like, it requires so much planning and you can't just put something up, because then you'd have to, like I would go and I'd change all the backgrounds to make sure that the next 4 were actually green instead of red. And I feel like it's an example, and it's also such an analogy of, like, how we go about things and stress ourselves out so much more than we need to. And now, like, I just put up what I want to put up when I want to. And it has, like, a color scheme and stuff, but I feel so much freer, and I cannot believe that I used to do that.
Yeah, that was a lot of work.
It was a lot. It's such a nice idea, but oh my gosh. And it was only really a nice idea when you're going about it in a planning way, when you think that you can 100% plan. But, like, now, like, I just made a post coming up about our podcast because that wasn't on the radar, you know, necessarily the beginning of the month when I was initially making some stuff. I want to be able to just throw something up there about that. And now I can.
Got to make things easier for yourself and just let go of the control.
Yeah, I think sometimes improvisation, like, your perspective about it being scary is very true and very real for most of us, but I also feel like improvisation can make things so much easier and so much more fun. So it's kind of like, it's a little bit of both at the same time, that, like, mm-hmm. it can be scarier, but it can also be less scary. Because now I don't look at my content calendar and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. This is crazy. I'm just like, eh, whatever.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, what is something that you are improvising professionally?
I'm improvising a lot professionally. Everything that's going on with my creativity coaching is pretty just all improv right now, especially because I mean, I haven't even figured out how I want to set up the coaching system. Like, do I want to do one-on-one? Do I want to do groups? I have no idea. I have not figured that out yet. So I'm just kind of going one step at a time, focusing on what's fun and what's interesting and just seeing where the next step leads me. And this week was really exciting because I didn't have any big editing projects that needed to be done. So I had a lot more time in my day to just dedicate to my ugly art classes that I'm trying to like draft up. And that was just a really fun day of creativity and trying to figure stuff out and writing. And it was really, really good. I think also my social media, I'm just like willy-nilly throwing things out there because I don't know. I don't know anything about social media. I'm like figuring out as I go. I don't care.
And what you're throwing up there is cool, you know, like it's awesome. And yeah, I think it's looking great.
Thank you. And I think it is fun. Like as I explore ugly art more, I find new things to share of like throwing random stuff out there and also not caring so much about what they look like anymore. I was really worried about that for a while. And so like I asked you to use your templates and stuff. Like I needed more help. And now I'm still using some of those as like a base, but I'm just like throwing things on there now. And because it doesn't matter. Like nobody cares that much. And I need to not care so much either. So it's been a lot.
I have a post up today that's one of my first posts that has like multiple typos. It was someone, I may have mentioned this before, someone helped me make these. And it has multiple typos and I couldn't go in and fix them because it wasn't on my Canva. And I had to do the same thing and just be like, that's just what it is. People might be like, huh, that has a typo and that's fine.
Yeah. What about you? What are you improvising professionally?
I have been saying for a very long time, not a very long time, but for the past few weeks and months, I've been a little bit stuck on like how to move forward. And I have all these different pieces of what I've done so far. And I had this like wild improvisational moment where I realized that I have all these puzzle pieces in front of me. And basically they all go together really beautifully into a program. And for people who do puzzles, they're familiar with that feeling where you're just like, this should go together. Like it should, like I've tried it. It's these two go together. This all like this section goes here. I'm sure of it. And your brain is just like, it's got to work there. And then you just like shift one thing or you realize one thing goes somewhere else and you're like, oh my God, like it's done. Like the whole puzzle is just done. But I just didn't realize it went there instead of there. And that's what this has been like, is it just all goes together. All the pieces fall into place essentially immediately. And actually, right after we record this, I'm going to be sitting down and like getting it all on paper in a like, you know, instead of just scribbled on something, it's going to be a actual thing. But yeah, I'm making it.
That's so great. Do you want to expand anymore on like how the puzzle pieces are fitting or do you want to keep it vague for now?
So I've considered that. I think that because we're doing a recurring podcast, I think it'll be fun to check in on it later. But I can say, I can share a bit about what I've done so far is I've done this A Little Less Afraid workshop. I've done making a comfort kit. If you get dementia or if you're older and, you know, need this long-term comfort, I have a tool called the Happy Map and a variety of other things. And basically all of those fit really, really beautifully into a program where it walks people through their relationship with dementia. It walks them through some preparations they can make for themselves and their loved ones. So they're feeling more empowered. They're feeling more peace and more preparation. And it would basically be step by step through that. And it feels like that's what I should have been doing all along and just didn't realize it.
It's so awesome. I'm so glad to hear you say that, especially after I think it was the last episode we recorded. We were talking about how we want to do this. And there was a lot of frustration of, I don't know. I want to do something, but I don't know what. But it's so exciting to hear you talk about, like, I have some clarity now and I know which direction I'm going in now.
And I feel like it's so cool to have had that unfold on a podcast where people can hear that. Cause that's what it feels like, is you have these moments where you're just like, I literally can't move forward. Like, I don't know. And then it's like 1 week later, it will have all fallen together. And I think that's part of the beauty too. Like, these podcasts are improvised. They're unscripted. We have, you know, some questions, some ideas, but the fact that we're improvising this conversation allows things like that to come up. And it's a really fascinating process.
Definitely.
What is something that you're improvising personally?
Not too much in like relationships or anything, but something in my life where I have to improvise a lot is playing D&D. Mm. And that was, I think it's really interesting how I started playing D&D, because I never used to be into role-playing games, never did drama, never did, I definitely had that kind of more negative perception of role-playing games. But like a week or so before I quit my job in commercial real estate, a mutual friend contacted me and was like, hey, I play D&D and we need an extra person for our party. Would you be interested? And I was in this phase where I knew I was about to like jump off into something very scary and new and like building a business. And I was like, I need to challenge myself and I need to open myself to new experiences. So even though there were parts of me that was just like, that doesn't sound like that's for me, another part of me was like, just do it. And so I did. And it's been so fun. And I love it now. It's so good. And it's just like constant improvisation. And yeah, sometimes I have no idea what's happening. I mean, I've gotten better and I know the rules now, but it definitely took a while. And I'm getting to know the people in the party better. And we're like having more fun improvising together. And it's a really great time.
I love that example for it, because I feel like that's a good example of like having a safe place to be improvisational. Yeah. And having people to do it with. And that's actually like Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score. One of the things they talk about for trauma is doing something with other people, like things like theater. It can be really healing to have that space where you get to be maybe different than you are in normal life. And so, you know, like you've been saying, like improvisation's hard in the world and in a lot of scary situations, but you know, that is turning out to be just a really fun place for you to do it.
It is. It's so much fun. What about you? Where are you improvising personally?
So as you know, today is the day that RSVPs are due for our wedding. And basically from here until literally who knows when, no idea in the future when I will land from jumping off today. Basically, it's all wedding prep, wedding, honeymoon. We'll have 3 weeks after our honeymoon to pack up and move. We'll be moving in with my in-laws. And then looking for housing in Washington State. We're in Arizona. And hopefully we'll find something. So it feels like this year is just the most intense amount of improvisation. And I just have to just wing it and move forward. And the example I was giving, my partner and I were talking about how we want to go skydiving someday. And I realized that physical experience is what this feels like emotionally. But it really feels like we are standing, like right now is the ground actually. And then in terms of the move, being at his parents' house would be being in the airplane. And then we're jumping and trusting there's a parachute, trusting that there's ground. It's all just improvisation in my life right now. And it is fun. Because I have like safety nets, like landing at his house, his parents' house and things like that, it's terrifying, but it can also be thrilling. And that's cool to be able to have that experience of feeling it being thrilling and exciting and feeling like my partner and I are a team and that we're going to tackle this challenge together. So yeah, it's not as scary as it could be.
Yeah, I'm glad you have at least, it like you said, it's steps. Like you're getting in the plane, you're going up in the air, and then you're going to jump. Like you have phases to kind of help prepare you for the next thing and to give you more time to look for like how your parachute works and like where to pull it and like where you can, you know, look to your friends and family for help.
That's so funny, because I've been like expanding on the analogy as I go, and I feel like that works so well. We've been thinking a lot about the details of how do we get a moving truck up there? How are we going to navigate that? How are we, like, are we going to put it in storage first and then move it up? And I feel like that's the equivalent of like figuring out how the parachute works is like, how are we even going to logistically do this?
Yep.
It's also fascinating too, because I presume based on the conversations that we've had, the processing he and I have done together, Washington makes the most sense for us based on our priorities of being near family, things like that. But it's also been fascinating because we've talked about how we could literally go anywhere and we could do anything. And we've been just letting ourselves play around with that idea. There's nothing that really seriously calls to us, but it's cool to take that time to be like, we could also live in North Carolina or find a super cheap house in the Midwest. Who knows? And so it's fun to do that too.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities.
And I'm glad we're thinking of them, because I also could be really rigid about this. And normally in the past, I would have been so rigid about this entire process. I haven't even thought about the move at all. I'm just like, we're getting married and that's what I'm focusing on. And then we'll figure it out later, which is not in my normal repertoire of being. But yeah, I'm glad that I'm letting my brain explore other possibilities.
It's a good way to live.
Yeah. So I kind of spoke to this for myself already, but what's a current challenge or place of stuckness that could use improvisation for you?
It's nice because I don't really feel stuck right now. I know that I'm going to come upon some stuckness soon, but right now the things that I'm focusing on, like I know what I'm playing with. I have the mound of Play-Doh or whatever in front of me, and I'm like, okay, I have this. I'm going to just see where these little shapes can go. But I think once I start getting into how I want to set up my coaching structure and everything, that's probably going to take some improvisation and seeing what works and trying different things. So we'll see. But I'm very grateful. I don't feel very stuck right now. I feel like I'm in like a playground right now. I just get to play out different things.
That's kind of what I was thinking when you're saying it. Like, it sounds like you're already in that improvisational stage. And I was thinking almost of, have you ever done sand tray therapy?
Mm-mm.
So I did it like once, like one therapist I happened to see for like one or two sessions had a sand tray, and like I played around with it. You know, it is what it sounds like. It's a big sand tray and it has like all these figurines and stuff. And it's kind of like art therapy with kids where you have them like do whatever. And then you kind of like psychoanalyze it a bit, like, oh, maybe this represents that you're feeling blocked or whatever. And it seems like you're kind of just like in that space of like moving different things around, playing around with it. Like you said, Play-Doh, figuring out where things go, where they don't. I should get a sand tray. I was kidding when I said that, but then immediately I was like, no, I should. Have you played with kinetic sand?
Yeah, that's just cool.
Oh, cool. I want to get something that I can put some kinetic sand and get some like figurines or something in. So
that's a good idea. Do you have any other, aside from your personal life, any other like current challenges of stuckness?
I think I'm also feeling like I'm out of that stuckness I was feeling and in that same kind of space of playing and feeling good about it. So it's funny, this question would have been super relevant to me 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now I'm like, nah, I'm good.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. I think this is a good question for me to come back to, though. One of the things, I took a business mentorship course through my end of life doula training. It's called Evolve, if anyone's interested in it, through Going with Grace. But the business mentorship talked a lot about like, what are your gaps and how can you cross them? And that's something I come back to a lot. What are the gaps? Where am I stuck? What do I need to do? And I think improvisation makes that a lot more playful instead of just like, how do I solve this problem?
And it's really a good idea to come back to that question, because especially if you get in the flow and things are going really well and things are working, you're not going to think about, how you have to change. But then if once something comes up and you feel stuck or rejected, then you're gonna get that frustrated feeling. So it is good to be like, okay, this is just a moment of being stuck. It's time to improvise with it. It's not time to get like bogged down.
Yeah. When I wonder if you've had this experience too. A lot of the times I get stuck, I don't realize that I'm stuck. Like I think just everything's bad and I'm stupid and the world sucks. And so having that framework of like, oh no, I'm stuck right now. There's an obstacle and there's things I can do to move around it. And maybe I jump around it. Maybe I take a different path. You know, there's all these different options, and that's helpful for me to remember.
Same. So why do you think it's so scary to improvise? How do you manage to shift that perspective from something that's scary to something that's exciting?
I definitely feel like you said, certainty. It's very comforting, especially in a scary world, whether that's the global scale of the scary world or sometimes our personal lives feel really scary. And I think that's why I was so inclined towards certainty for my first 3 decades, was that it was just, if I could carve one space that felt comfortable, then it felt safe. And I feel that here at our house right now. I love this apartment. I love my office. I love all of this. I don't want to pack it up and move it. And so it is. It is really scary. And my partner and I keep kind of like talking about that and validating that for each other, that it is terrifying. But one of the things that I've been using for a while now, actually, the idea of a roller coaster. I'm just like super into analogies right now.
We've got a lot of analogies in this episode.
We do. I've been using them all the time because they feel really applicable to just the like emotional space I'm in. It was actually one of my old neighbors. She and I are like friends and we'll have these conversations and stuff. And so I was talking to her about starting a business. And I remember at one point she said, life's like a roller coaster, baby. You never know what's going to happen next. And I don't think she'd be happy about this, but that inspired me to want a tattoo. I want a tattoo where I have a little roller coaster cartoon thing on the back of my left leg and the back of my right on the ankles. And then the car is like on one leg and obviously like the rest of it's on the other. So it's kind of this big, scary.
That's super cute.
Yeah. My partner scheduled a time for me to get it for my birthday. That was one of my presents. But then his artist got COVID. So it was another roller coaster moment of like, oh, you never know. Like I was waiting, I was going to do it and then just couldn't. So yeah, hopefully I get some time. But yeah, the idea of a roller coaster is something I started picking up in the past few years of like, you know, seeing it as like, ooh, what's going to happen? And like, you know, it's going to be really exciting. And then like, oh, now it's just kind of like fun and chill. And then you do it again. Yeah, that's helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And some people don't love roller coasters, so that would be not a fun analogy for them.
That's true. Those people might be like, that sounds horrible. No, thank you.
Sorry to those people.
Yeah, I don't really know how to make it less scary except to just keep practicing and keep doing it. It's like for me, improvisation has been scary the whole time. Like at different times, my heart will just race and I'll get sweaty and just the amygdala just being like, you're in danger. But the more that I do it, the less that part of my brain reacts. So it really is just practice to turn it from scary to less scary in my case. And then also to find the small improvisations that have low risk, that help you get excited about those things. Earlier today, I did think of another kind of analogy, which is funny because we just have so many today, but kind of similar to just like that hanging in the air feeling. It feels like where I'm standing, the ground is invisible and I'm just kind of, it looks like I'm suspended in air. And then improvising is like taking a step and hoping I don't fall to my death, essentially.
Yeah.
But then like the more you do it, the more you realize, oh, there's actually more places to step than I can see. And then it also, the more you do it, you realize you're not actually that high up in the air. And if you do fall, you'll be okay.
That's a good one. And I'm curious, I feel like we might be, like our brains might be looking for analogies because when things are uncertain, you don't have any other, you know, conceptualization of it. Like you have to be like, it's like this because you don't know what it actually is.
That's so true. But it's worth it. And I mean, my business wouldn't be what it is if I hadn't started improvising, especially if you're just trying something new and you don't really know what you want. I like editing and it's something I enjoy, but I also, as I do it more, I'm like, but there's something else I want to be doing. And if I hadn't been willing to explore that, then I wouldn't be going down the direction that I am.
Yeah, it's very true. I feel like we didn't even touch on like just the vast amount of improvisation a business requires. Like there's even so much more we could go into of that, of like literally every day's improvisation, especially if, I mean, if it's your own business, there's nothing but improvisation because there's no existing system.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to build it all up. You have to figure out how to use all these different programs. And yeah, I mean, probably don't need to get into all that today, but yeah, it's a lot. Awesome. Well, what kind of ugly things did you make this week?
Yeah, I did a really fun one that you inspired. I had this weekend to myself. My partner was buying food with his mom for the, we're self-catering. So he was off doing that stuff and I got to stay home and kind of like just do whatever. And I decided to do something I'm calling point of poem. You do it with books, but I did it with like my journal and my poetry journal and like a couple other things that I'd written. And I would open them and just point to a random word. And then, and I didn't even know when I was doing it, I didn't know what I was going to do with that word. And then I realized when I pointed to it, I was like, oh, I'm going to write a line and use that word in that line. And this is what I came up with. So my poem, this is also like totally like it goes with everything I've been talking about. So it's going to be like, oh yeah, I didn't think it was going to make sense, but it makes sense. Waiting never came easy to me. I always wanted more, bigger, next, to have my cake and eat it too. To move through can to am. Next steps have always been music to my ears. To pack my clothes, zip my suitcase, and embark. To know the distinct feeling of leaving one place and discovering more of the world in another. It is mind games like this that puzzle me. That I want to be here and eventually elsewhere. That the present is so good and so unsatisfying. That I cannot win in the arcade of life unless I enjoy the playing and the prize.
Shit. Yeah, that all flows together so well.
Yeah, like it doesn't sound like, here, I'll redo the words, I underline them. It was waiting, more, cake and can, music, clothes, distinct and more, and games eventually good and arcade. And I got arcade and I was like, that's not gonna work. And then that's my favorite line, like, I cannot win in the arcade of life unless I enjoy the playing and the prize. It's like literally my entire life philosophy.
It's so good. I love it. And that, I love that idea of pointing to words and then just turning it into a poem. It's so good.
Yeah, part of the improvisation perspective that I learned from, which we didn't even touch on, but I've talked in others, the social therapeutics model that I learned through Reimagining Dementia, it's just being really playful with life and like just taking something that life gives you and running with it. And so it really is like seeing everything as improv theater. And so that practice, which I have encouraged you to take and please use with people, it really is like life is giving you that word and then you're running with it. And it's fun. Like it's cool. It's just like ugly art. Like you just take something and turn it into whatever.
I love it.
So what's something ugly that you made this week?
Yeah, this was actually really fun. Last night or the night before, I can't remember, Jordan and I were like, we both finished work and we didn't really have anything to watch. We didn't know what we wanted to do for the evening. And so I suggested that we write an ugly story together.
Aww.
And it was really fun. We just wrote a couple sentences and then swapped the computer and continued it. And it was just this really silly story about a man who had the Guinness Book of World Records people at his house because he was the first person to ever balance a car on a coffee table.
Amazing.
Yeah, it made no sense. And it ended with the most ridiculous, like, his ex-wife was there and she was like rooting for him to fail. And at one point she like lunges at the car to get it to tip over because it's balancing on the bumper. It's so stupid, but she like lunges at the car to knock it over, but then it ends up staying upright. And so then the Guinness Book of World Records people are like, he beat his own record. Her weight in the car makes the record bigger. It was so dumb, but it was a really good time.
I mean, it's also really clever because I'm hearing the story and I'm like, oh my gosh, tell me more. That's so interesting. Like, it's like, I see the scene.
And it was just fun to like include Jordan in it. Especially because I've mentioned before, I think he's a very creative person, but he doesn't really do a lot of creative things. So, but he really enjoyed my ugly art experiment. It's really just a matter of doing it. So by me inviting him into that ugly art space with me, then he like opens up that creativity and we both have a really good time together. So
it's nice. That's awesome.
Well, where can people find you?
MakingHappyMemories.com or Let's Make Moments on Instagram. And where can people find you?
People can find me at scribeandsunshine.com and on Instagram at scribeandsunshine. And this will already have been the case for other episodes that come out before this, but in case this is the first episode you're listening to, we are now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. So you can subscribe and like and whatever. And that's fun.
Yeah. Podcast.
We're doing the podcast thing. There was a part of me that, like, once I uploaded the first episode, there was a part of me that was just like, oh no. It's, oh shit.
Did you ever hear Brené Brown's term, the vulnerability hangover?
Yes.
Yeah, that, I think that's the feeling I get with stuff like that, where it's like you put it out there and you're like, oh no.
But then I reminded myself of why I'm doing this. Like, we're doing this because it's part of that ugly creativity and just doing it and getting it out there. Whether or not people like it, it's just for you and it's the creative process and it's fun. So.
It is fun.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap. And keep it ugly.
Keep it ugly.